The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Stephen Powell, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater will be in the studio. Three meetings to look forward to on Sunday: Beverley, Goodwood and Yarmouth. And the card at Goodwood contains the Group 3 Supreme Stakes as well. There's also racing in Ireland at Cork. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action, Mr. Ross Briley. How about that for a pregnant pod?
It's getting even worse now.
It is, yeah.
When are you due? Remarkable. You've got no comeback to that, have you?
I simply don't know what to say.
No. That's fair enough. I have that effect on people.
Rendered me speechless.
Many things I say are impossible to come back from due to their utter inanity or nonsensical nature.
Yes.
As you will soon discover on this podcast.
Basically, it's a rather flamboyant way of saying you talk rubbish.
Yep.
Yes.
Pretty much. That's what it says on my CV.
Talk rubbish for a living.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Well then, making a career out of that.
Well, millions have in the past. Maybe not millions. No, yeah, millions. Yeah, millions.
Okay. I think you've been a bit harsh on yourself.
Yeah, I am a little bit. Yeah.
We don't like that.
Yeah. Anyway. I've just had some chips, so I'm full of self-hatred.
I'm in a bad mood with yourself.
Yeah. That's kind of...
Take the sea off chips, what do you get?
Hips?
Yes. Straight to your hips, the wheel.
Okay.
Ross is going to look ahead to the
race. Are you coming on to me?
No.
Oh, it's a shame. This podcast has gone...
West.
To the pits.
Yeah. How is that coming on to you?
I don't know. You tell me.
No.
You're just such an incredibly attractive man, Mark.
First of all, you declare your undying love for me on a previous podcast.
Did I?
Yes. And now this.
I thought I was being subtle.
I don't quite know what to make of it anymore. Ross is going to look ahead to...
We spent so much time just on our own in this studio, Mark, yes, that I thought something was... I thought we had an understanding.
This has been 3 minutes of nothing remotely racing related, so let's try and get back on track. And you're going to look ahead to some racing at Beverley for us, Ross.
I am.
We're also going to hear from the Irish Sons, Declan O'Donoghue. He's going to give us his best bets at Cork as well, so that will come later on. Before we do any of that, though, Ross, let's reflect on some of this week at York.
Okay.
The most recent day, as we record this, was Friday's action, and the big race there, the Nunthorpe Stakes, went to a surprise winner in the shape of Juala.
yeah, a little bit, yeah. 40-1, I'm surprised she was that short. to be fair to her, she's had a very productive season. She was a course and distance winner, albeit in listed company, and she was rated 103, which... It's not like she was a handicapper landing a Group 1. Admittedly, she had the best part of a stone to find with the likes of Shay Shay and Soul Power, but she obviously likes the track, fillies in form and all that, and she's the third mare on the trot to win the Nunthorpe as well, after Hortensia and Margot did. So, I mean, it must be something about fillies at this time of year who are in good form. But, it was a surprise. Great for Robert Cowan, in particular Steve Drown, of course, has had a pretty frustrating time of it of late.
Yeah, for another show, Steve Drown.
Yes, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah. Nice guy, good jockey, and a deserved success. But, yeah, I think it's one of those, it's like playing poker with an amateur and a professional. The amateur might well win a hand or two and might come out of a gate. You might have a tournament and the amateur might knock the professional out due to the cards falling their way. But if you played continuously, I think the professional would come out on top 9 times out of 10. Yesterday was the day that Juala got the better of Shay Shay and Soul Power. And I think if you ran the race again, it might not happen. But the fact is that she's got a nose in front. It's a great success, and fair play to Connection, because you've got to run them. You've got to, you know, they paid the entry fee, they turned up, they've got a train fit to the minute, and it's paid off.
Yeah, good result for Juala and all concerned with her then. Another big winner on the day, the winner of the Lonsdale Cup, Azima, holding off Simenon in the closing stages to register that success. And it was pretty gutsy, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is credit to the horse, because after you finished second, I think he's finished second 8 times in 17 races, you start to think, well, do you really want to do it? But he won the best 3-year-old handicap of the season last year at Ascot, beating Stensive in what was a hot race. He was a Group 3 winner in Maidan as well. He finished second in the Goodwood Cup. It wasn't a surprise by any stretch of the imagination. And to be fair, he got the run of the race to an extent. And he was he was probably the only upwardly mobile horse in there. He was the youngest in the field. He was the least experienced. So, and Sylvester D'Souza was riding like a god yesterday. Mm. So everything went right for him. And be interesting to see if he rocks up at Ascot, Royal Ascot next year.
Yes, a 249-1 treble for Sylvester D'Souza on Friday.
You probably should have thought about this beforehand, but it'd be interesting to see what Azima. I don't know if we have prizes for next year's Ascot Gold Cup or whatever, but because he's 2 from 3 at Ascot, so he's very much a horse who could take a step up to that grade. But don't worry about it; it's fine.
I'm going to see if I can find it. I don't think it'll be on there, to be honest.
No, I don't either, so we should probably move on.
Yeah. Queen Mother Champion Chase, is that what you said?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, we don't have betting on there.
Okay. They're fancying for the county hurdle.
Right, okay. No, there's no betting for that either.
Okay, shame.
Ah, damn. Anything else got your eye? What stood out for you this week at York?
I suppose Lucky Cristal will be a hard horse to beat. I mean, Cheveley Park could be one of the races of the season. Avoid Say, like the plague. Didn't think she wanted to win the other day. And the Grey Gatsby should have won the Acom. I think he'll be better with a stronger gallop.
Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah. Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah, good. Okay. Good. Beverley, then, let's move on to Sunday's racing. And you picked out 3 races at Beverley for us, the 220, the 255 and the 510. So we'll start in the 220, which is a claimer over 7 furlongs. And should we start here with Toto Scilacci, who won a claimer last time? And has he got another good chance this Sunday?
Yeah, I think we should start and stop with Toto Scilacci, who loves this track. He's a big fan of Beverley. He's won here 4 times in his career. He's finished second twice, and he's only been unplaced on 2 occasions here at this track. So he has to be hugely respected. He's also a relatively uncomplicated ride. You just pop a man in front. Admittedly, Balti Boys does like to be ridden prominently, and Chalowin does as well. So it might be a case of who gets there first. But I was impressed with the way he knuckled down at Carlisle last time out. He got into a lovely rhythm, and he kicked on. And I think a return to this track isn't a problem at all. Balti Boys has had a good season. He just got out-battled by Tatlisu last time out. just doesn't win as often as he should do, regardless of the grade. And he's probably a little bit better at Thirsk, I think, anyway, than he is around here, although he did run okay here behind Silverware. So I think it's a pretty bad race, and I think it's well within Toto Scilacci's compass. And David O'Meara continues in fine form.
Yes, he does. The 255 at Beverley next, then. And this is a handicap. It's a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile. And Dream Wild, very likely raced, only had the 4 starts, and could be a bit better than these.
Yeah, again, I mean, they're half-decent-sized fields, but I think there's a very distinct class line just above Rainbow Beauty. So I think the top 4 are very much the ones to concentrate on. Relight My Fire came unstuck last time out, red car, but does have excellent form around here at Beverley, so a return here is going to be very much in that horse's favour. Simply Shining's been running quite well, but looks a little bit of an awkward ride. Polar Chief ran well at Haydock in its penultimate start, but completely bombed out and looked pretty awkward itself last time out, although it does like soft grounds if the rain did arrive. But I think Dream Wild is a pretty much an ideal horse for this race. She's only won 1 of her 4 starts, and to be fair, she's been pretty expensive to follow, but she chased her Esther Karma last time out at Yarmouth in a stronger contest than this. And I don't know, it sounds strange for a horse who won on debut, but it seems like she's just finding her feet, really. They tried her over 10 furlongs at Salisbury, she didn't get home. They dropped her back to 7 at Newmarket, and the race was too strong, and she probably was a little bit outpaced. So I think a sort of a stiff mile and a bit round here is probably very much in her favour, and a trip up north could be the way to get her back in the winner's enclosure, because You know, she's only got a mark of 78, and I don't think she's particularly well in, necessarily. But Sir Michael Stout's got a 64% strike rate at Beverley in the past few years, 9 winners from 14 runners. So I don't think he travels up to North Yorkshire on a whim. So I think Dream Wild, he's going to take some beating.
Okay. And on to the 5.10 at Beverley then. This is another handicap. This one's a Class 6 handicap, and it's over 5 furlongs. Lucky Lodge returned to winning ways last time with the blinkers on for the first time, and that was a little bit higher class than this as well. So down in grade a little bit, if the blinkers have the same effect, is Lucky Lodge the one to beat?
Yeah, I think potentially net material as well on Sunday, Lucky Lodge. Because, again, I mean, the good thing about what I like about the Beverley card is there's sort of seven, there's at least 8 runners in just about every race. But 5 or 6 of them just aren't any good. Mm. Robin's shown very little. Amelia J managed to win a race on its penultimate start, but wasn't much of a contest. Fidget looks awkward and got blinkers on for the first time. Pearl Noir's shown nothing. Sharton's Secret's shown nothing. Time for Crabbies has shown a little bit last time out at Wolverhampton. He's mildly interesting off a mark of 58. But I don't think Chloe's Dream really wants to knuckle down and win when she's challenged. Although her one win did come here. At Beverley, and I was really impressed with the way Lucky Lodge battled on at Newcastle last time out. Andrelic gave him a great ride, I thought, and that form was significantly stronger than this race, and versatile regarding ground, and everything looks in place for a big run from Lucky Lodge.
Okay, let's tie it in a bow then and put it in a nutshell or whatever you want to call it. Let's have a summary then, Ross, if you'll give us your 3 selections one more time.
I will indeed. Toto Scalacci in the 220, Dream Wild in the 255, and Lucky Lodge in the 510.
Thank you very much, Ross. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Oh, I will.
So that's Ross's picks at Beverley then. We can now go to the Irish Sun's Declan O'Donoghue. He's going to give us his best bets over in Ireland on the meeting at Cork.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Hi, it's Declan O'Donoghue of the Irish Sun here for William Hill Radio, looking at today's racing at Cork. Well, we start off the second race, the Family Layout Maiden Hurdle, the 250, and the one to be on here is number 2, Curly Bill. Now, this one won a flat race at Galway, you may remember. It's a pretty classy flat race too, and the exceptional thing there was he hated the ground. The ground was heavy, he didn't like that at all, totally different today. And remember, before that, he was second to David Dean in a mile and a half race at the Curragh, and that is pretty smart flat form indeed to win this maiden hurdle. He has been over hurdled a couple of times, was second to third opinion in Down Royal, has a bit of ability at that game, but really has too much speed and class for these, I would think. That's number 2, Curly Bill, in the 250. Now on to the 325, and this was a horse that didn't fare well in Galway at all. Number 3, Spot the Pro. In fact, he was pulled up in his race in Galway, a handicap hurdle. But there are a lot of circumstances around that. First of all, he was hampered at the start, slowly away, met all kinds of trouble. And really, when the game was up, he just pulled him up to look after him. They could reap the rewards of that today, because he is, of course, in distance winner before that. Number 3, Spot the Pro in the 325. Might be a bit of a price as well. Now, the 4 o'clock. Well, we can't go beyond the favourite here. Number 3, Domination. This one, Charles Burns, the trainer, loves this track, loves the ground, everything in his favour, really. He had a bit of form at Galway as well, was a good second there, came back and won over 3 miles here, and dropping down in trip here, but he's a very versatile kind of horse. He can do those kind of things once he has good, fast ground, and he certainly will have that today. That's number 3, Domination, in the 4 o'clock. Now, next race to 4.35. We're going with the top one here, number 1, Andreas Pride. This one trained by Miles Sunderland. That's probably someone you haven't heard of, but when I tell you he worked with Jim Bulger, well, that really speaks for itself. He's a very good trainer with a very small stable. This one was just beaten over the strip of Killarney the last time by Golden Palm, beaten 1 length. We love the ground, has form around here. The top looks the one here. They might go for Our Beautiful Dream in the betting market, but really, that one has had so many chances. And I think the top one here, Andreas Pride, has much more scope, a little bit more genuine, I would think, too, and that's our selection. Well, our last selection is in the last race of the day, the 5.35. And here, we're not looking beyond Dermot Wells, number 12, Marty's Magic, with Robbie McNamara in the plate. This one was beaten by a very good one of Willie Mullins at Galway, just beaten too. The winner is called Wicklow Brave, and he was well fancied, I can tell you. And yet, Dermot's one went off to 5-4 favourite. They thought to be yet another Wells Galway winner. Well, he wasn't, but he'll make amends here today. I have no doubt about that. He's our nap today in the last race, number 12, Marty's Magic. So to recap then, the 250, number 2, Curly Bill, 325, number 3, Spot the Pro, 4 o'clock, number 3, Domination, 4:35, number 1, Andrea's Pride. And the last race, we kept the best one until last year, the 5:35, number 12, Marty's Magic. This is Declan O'Donoghue of the Irish Sun for William Hill Radio.
So that just about does it then. That's the thoughts of Declan and Ross Briley then, looking ahead to Sunday's racing. All that's left for me to do is tell you that you can hear it on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Stephen Powell, Sean Quinn and Mark Slater will be in the studio. It's Beverly, Goodwood and Yarmouth domestically, and there's racing from Ireland at Cork. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.